Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. My name is Anna and I'm pleased to be joined this evening by Laura, who's here to tell us about her experience of Saturday's Compassionate Scheduling Workshop. Welcome, Laura.
Hey, Anna.
Hey. So tell us what you saw in the workshop. Oh, before we begin, I just want to let folks know that it was a win-win-win experience because it was also a fundraiser for the Bridge Walk campaign. So with that, what did you see, Laura? How was it?
Oh, my gosh, the winds all around. There was so much to see.
Uh-huh.
And so it was really interesting. The moment I'd heard about the workshop, it was like I immediately knew I want to do that.
Uh-huh.
And then knowing it was part of the fundraiser actually just made it even more fun to participate, to know I was, like, contributing on both ends. And so that was really fun. So the biggest, the minute Ashwini gave the first exercise, the whole karmic process around scheduling showed up immediately.
Uh-huh.
Which for me was this place around, so I don't know if I could, is it okay to give a little bit of details or leave those out?
Yeah, sure. Just tell us what you saw in the exercise. Yeah.
Right. So the exercise was to, you know, based on some of the previous kind of readings and stuff, to make a schedule for the week. And mm-hmm. we were encouraged to bring all of these, you know, materials and art supplies and anything you wanted. And what immediately showed up, and which often shows up to us, like, what's the right way to do it?
Uh-huh.
And That's such a place that egocentric karmic conditioning gets in, I mean, with whatever content, but definitely, like, there is some magic way to do scheduling that will solve all of my problems.
So the karmic process was revealed right there in the first part of the workshop. When we sat down and were asked to create a schedule for the week, you saw that process of what is the right way to do it, and you got to see that instead of seeing through it, and then sounds like got to have your experience of what it was like to make this schedule.
Yeah, and so as I was in that process of watching, like, the really cool thing about this that's different than the other times that I've, quote, tried to work on scheduling, is I felt like this, because it was this workshop, like there was more awareness and presence that was watching what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that identification, it wasn't like life wasn't talking to me in words, but there was just this guidance to, okay, do this, right? And so I did that thing. And then, it's like just start writing on paper. And then the next guidance, because then ego came in again and like, well, should I turn the paper sideways and do it horizontal? Should I do it vertical? You know, all of this stuff. And it was like just, and then the picture of the monastery schedule that gets posted on the board dropped in. Like it just came into my awareness, like, okay, just do that. And so when I started doing that, it just like everything relaxed.
Uh-huh.
And I had pulled up my digital calendar of my work week, and so I was able to just start with what do I know I have on my schedule?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just started there, and then it's like everything opened up, and I was just able to start, you know, with one day, and then I got all the way to Wednesday, and then I got a little stuck because there's more spaciousness in Wednesday, and so then the voices come in again with, oh my God, what do we do with spares? I don't know, and all of that. And so I stopped, and I just went back to the previous few days. And what was really cool was, again, awareness came in and was just looking at the schedule and going, huh, there's no time in here for a snack, and you're going kind of late that day. How about add in, right? Or, what about if we put in, there's no recording and listening, like, in here. Like, there's just a hope that it'll happen. How about putting that in? Which, again, was just so kind.
So kind. Laura, there's so much in what you just said. First of all, it sounds like the power of Sangha, right? Coming together to do a workshop on compassionate scheduling, an area that a lot of us suffer with. And that extra boost of awareness helps you see the process that you're habitually in around creating a schedule that maybe you're seeing through the lenses of, instead of seeing from awareness as you were able to at the start of this workshop. And then from that, it sounds like your experience of creating the schedule was completely transformed. There was that space for life, for life's guidance to reach you. So all those places of just seeing the human living her life, so putting the work commitments in, and then, oh, there's no time for a snack in there, and oh, there's some sort of intention to record and listen, but it's not actually in the schedule. So it sounds like you got the information to be in a process of supporting the human to have the life that she wants and be successful to have that snack and do that recording and listening when she wants to.
Yes. And then at the, you know, when we checked back in, there was this piece around like, how was that experience? And it was like, oh my gosh, it was actually kind of fun. Uh-huh. And not kind of, we could take the kind of out. It was fun. It was expansive. It was, right. It was all of that. Uh-huh. And it's simple. Like, so I think Ashwini reflected that it was like all of 16 minutes and conditioning wants to make scheduling like a horrendous, complicated, costly, consuming affair. And literally it took a notebook, I had no fancy equipment, a notebook and pen and presents.
Oh my gosh, the difference, I mean, I could just feel the energy shift as you were talking, right, from that, oh my gosh, what a drag, it's costly and complicated and difficult and need the right materials too. It's simple. I have a notebook and paper. I'm practicing being in relationship with life to let it inform, and there's lightness and excitement and fun.
And yeah, and fun. And so, and then towards the end, there were some prompts around like, you know, what supports you and all of that. And what I got to see as I looked at my schedule was that where are the places where I'm supported, and then where are the places where I'm not, and the places that, like, there's a lot of things that are in my schedule that, quote, are, you know, required for me to be there, but there's not a lot of care. And so, so ego plans my life, and then there's not, so there's this, so what would take care of the human is if presence, right, if me and life kind of got teamed up together to bring intentionality to the schedule to make sure there's care and attention for the human involved in the scheduling.
So a whole redirection of attention, right, to a process of being in communion with life, on a team with life, to look at how is this schedule going to take care of this human being.
Right. And but what's required? And so this when I was reflecting on kind of what doing some recording before this call, what just dropped in is like, life is lovingly stewarding this person, but I have to actually respond to the guidance. Like, it's like it's going to offer the information, but unless I actually show up and then follow through with that change of behavior, it's going to keep the karma stuck in place. And so I could want a different life experience all day long. I could sincerely want that. But unless I actually show up and do it differently, I can't have a different life experience with it.
Unless you show up and do it differently, you can't have a different life experience with it. I just, as you were saying that, saw how creating the schedule is like saying to life, I'm available. I'm available for this information. Right? It's like creating those blank spaces and, okay, life, how are we going to fill this in? And truly,
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Or I was going to say that the change of behavior, right, that changes the consciousness. There can be no change in consciousness without a change in behavior. And the support of the workshop helps you to do that.
Totally. And what I also saw is I'm looking at this theme around, you know, it seems like it's a theme we're looking at in practice, like not letting egocentric karmic conditioning take over practice. And so watching how in the past, I mean, I can't tell you the number of calendars and, you know, things I have bought to, quote, try and do this, to do that kind of initial, that unconscious belief that there's a right way to do it. Like, there isn't a system that's going to change me. It's presence. It's again, teaming up with life. It's bringing in that conscious, compassionate awareness to guide me versus looking externally to ego to inform it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So looking to a whole different place, not looking to ego to inform your schedule, but looking to life, teaming up with life. Wow.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Laura, can you believe
and,
it? It's,
go ahead.
I was just going to say we're at the top of the hour.
And okay.
On the theme of compassionate scheduling and keeping this schedule, is there anything that you'd
awesome.
Like to end as we wrap up?
The last piece that I think is just what practice is always saying is like no self-hate in the process. Like uh-huh. everything, right, they're unconditional, compassionate love, you know, for the human as they're sincerely showing up through the whole process.
Yes, unconditional love as a human is sincerely showing up for the process. It was just like my experience of the workshop was just such an experience of I love you exactly as you are and I'll help you be you want to be. Yeah, such an embodiment of that, huh?
Yep.
All right. And also, before we wrap up, a reminder to folks that as the Bridge Walk campaign continues, today is Giving Tuesday. And so that beautiful postcard was sent out. If folks haven't had a chance to participate, to check that out.
It is beautiful.
It's beautiful, huh?
Mm.
Okay, well, thank you, Laura.
Thank you, Anna. Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye. And Michael, we'll hand it over to you and Ashwini.
Wonderful. Thank you, Laura, and thank you, Anna. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Ashwini. Welcome, Ashwini.
Hey, Michael.
How are you?
Doing great. I enjoyed that workshop.
Yes, yes, I did as well, and I enjoyed that conversation too.
Yeah, it's a tough place for people, and for all of us, you know, such a way that ego hijacks our life, and so to bring attention to it is just marvelous.
Yes, 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 it is to see it from a perspective of practice with compassion is really, really helpful for me. Great guidance. Uh-huh. And I have announcements here, unless there's something else you'd like to add first.
Let's go to the announcements.
Okay. You, Ashwini, and Sherry will be at East West Bookshop in Seattle this Sunday, December 8th. For a fun and enlightening exploration of how to loosen ego's grip on communication and connect authentically. Reflective Listening Buddies offers weekly support for conscious, compassionate awareness, requiring participants to show up to practice being present. And a new quarter begins January 15th. Celebrate 2019 and welcome 2020 with a community of folks dedicated to practicing conscious, compassionate awareness at our New Year's retreat, December 27th through January 1st in the San Francisco Bay Area. This retreat will look at bypassing ego identification to practice authentic communication and includes group discussions, guidance with Sherry, and free time to spend in nature on the beautiful, spacious grounds. If you have a favorite quote from Sherry's responses in the current email class, we would like to invite you to share it with Sangha. Please direct the quote to peacequotes@livingcompassion.org so it can be sent out to Sangha through the daily Peace Quotes program.
There are so many quotes from this email class.
Yes.
Michael, I mean, the whole email class could be a quote, but some absolute gems from Sherry on this one. So,
yes.
For those who weren't in the email class, it would be a great service from people who are in the class to share what they got out of it with the rest of Sangha. So, I know I sent in about 40.
Oh, wow. Okay. Great. breaks. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders for today's show. If you'd like to get in the queue to talk with Ashwini, press *6 and then 1 to make guest show. And a conversation on one topic with about 5 minutes in length is great. Okay, Ashwini, I think we're ready.
Okay.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, y'all. This is Rochelle.
Hey, Rochelle.
Okay, very good. Hi. You know, I just realized that I have not called in, or I've called in, but I have not been on open air since about September last year, type of thing, various things.
We've missed you, Rochelle. In case you don't know, we keep track of these things. We are also aware of the fact that we haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, well, I have been practicing and everything, but there were some scheduling things. It was hard to call in on Tuesdays, type of thing. But believe me, life has been presenting me workshops left and right.
Wow, I never doubted it. I never doubted it.
Yeah, so I just wanted to touch base and let y'all know that I'm still here, I'm still practicing, and I really enjoyed your workshop on Saturday, and I took a scheduling class with Sangha years ago, and it really ended up being one of my best years, and I think in your class, I think, again, it's going to set up to be a good year. Just by being compassionate about scheduling and being mindful about how I'm using my time.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's such a so first of all, welcome. It's lovely to hear your voice again. And the thing that I picked up on in what you were saying about scheduling, right, Rochelle, it's that we have this vague belief that the schedule can be compassionate. But it's really a process that we go through as Sangha to recognize of how we bring compassion to a schedule, how we bring compassion to anything.
Yeah.
And it's so important to allow ourselves that, to put ourselves in a process which allows us to reorient our orientation.
Yes. Well, and what I've really been, you know, dealing with over the past years is, you know, family health issues and things like that. And so I was out of sorts in that, you know, there are things that I needed to get done work-wise and person-wise and things that were things I need to get done. But we've just had just health problems and had to be more present to family members as they go through health struggles and stuff. And so all of a sudden my there's no schedule. There's just kind of putting out fires left and right as the year went on. And so I was just like, okay, I have got to get back on a, well, if, regardless, life will happen. So regardless of what I schedule, but being more compassionate and re-prioritizing things and what I aim for in my schedule with my time. And then when things come up, just kind of compassionately drop the schedule and do what life tells you to do then.
Yes. Well, and there are two things that drop in when you say that, right? Rochelle, one is, I mean, I've heard Sherry say, sometimes in life you just have to survive, right? Because the circumstances are, there isn't the space or the availability to do more than just be present to your circumstances. And it's like those are the places we practice for, right? Where we bring presence to and compassion to those places, and all of our practice holds us in those places. And then there's an awareness that I'm running into those places where I really need to be mindful, because there's a way in which this could run away from me, right? If I want to have a life that is full of compassion, then despite what's happening in life, I have to start making the space to allocate the time where I meditate and record and listen or support myself so that I can be available for the circumstances and the people in my life who might need me. Which almost the analogy that I have is you have a full tank, and then you can give up to a certain point of time. But then you and life really get the information that it's time to fill the tank up again, because you can't go on fumes for very long.
Exactly, exactly. And that's how I was feeling. I'm running on fumes. And yes. So the schedule, you know, helps me put in time so that I can fill the tank back up.
To recharge, to take care of yourself. Yeah.
Exactly. And this is, at least for me personally, these are the types of times that we practice for. And there are some habits that I've gotten into. And so despite all the rockiness that's been going on, I've been very pleased because it's almost a reflex to practice certain things. You know, a reflex to, you know, take a deep breath and say, okay, you know, what's the kindest, compassionate thing we can do here? And it has been such a blessing over the past year. These are the types of times that we practice for, and I'm under no illusions it's going to get tougher as, you know, people get older and things change and stuff. And so this workshop and this scheduling and this looking at my time compassionately was very helpful. I just wanted to touch base and let y'all know I'm still here. I'm still practicing, and I'm going to get back into the groove a little bit better as far as touching base with Sangha and different things during this little lull in the excitement. So
yes, well, and that's so good to do. That's so good to do. That recognizing that if there is an opening, then I want to deepen my practice, because here's the invitation to take care of myself and fuel the tanks up, right? We're so guided, right, Rochelle? So guided.
Exactly. Well, and I would call, but I would, like, fall asleep. So so exhausting. So I would fall asleep, and I was like, oh, I don't know what they called on me, but, you know, all of a sudden the phone is dead, and I, you know, wake up and it's middle of the night, and I'm like, well, I missed the show.
Yeah. Well, glad to hear your voice, and glad you're with us, and glad you were on the show.
Well, thank you very much. And y'all take care, okay? Thank you.
All right. Take care, Rochelle.
Thanks for joining us, Rochelle. And Ashwini, I really appreciated that analogy about filling the tank up when times are less busy. And then when life gets challenging, the skills and habits that I've been working on with a fuller tank are available to me. And it's really
exactly
helpful.
Yeah. And then we train ourselves to know that, you know, there's a time when I really have to step out and take care of myself because I have nothing left to give. And that's not a good situation from which to approach life.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And we have another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Next caller, are you there?
Hi. It's Anna from Seattle.
Hey, Anna.
Hi, Anna.
Hi. I'm really excited for you and Sherry to come on Sunday. To Seattle.
We're very excited, too. We're really excited.
And I don't have the book yet, so I can get it on Sunday. Yes.
All right. We'll look forward to seeing you.
Yeah, me too. I did get all the guidance from you last time about, this dating this guy.
Yeah.
That I really liked. I mean, I really worked on it a lot and did process map, but now, I still don't have, like, exact clarity about how the suffering is happening somehow. But, so I have a lot of different, like, things, but I don't exactly know how the following of the order of how things happen. It's just a big scramble.
Uh-huh. So you have lots of stickies on a process map.
Well, yeah, it's all on one paper. And then
it's all on one paper.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
So,
for example,
go ahead.
Just when I noticed a lot of income, like when I was with them, like Saturday morning, which is why I unfortunately missed the great workshop, which is already, you know, ego setting me up but I noticed that I just started. You know, everything could be really nice, but I noticed when I'm with him, like, after a few hours, you know, then, like, in the morning, I start getting, like, just feeling hopeless, and just my brain is so blank and numb, and because ego, like, why again? Because this is just something that happens. Oh, because I just can't stay with my own heart. I don't know. I just completely disassociate. Even though I really like him, I mean, he's a really nice guy. This is just something that happens. So instead of enjoying the time, it's just like I go somewhere. I don't know.
Uh-huh. So let's have a conversation about how to practice with this, right? Because this is not about solving a problem. You are paying attention to your process. So I know you said you have a lot of things on the process map. Maybe what you're paying attention to the next time you're with him is what are you being told? Do you know what you're being told at the point in which you dissociate? Like, what happened? Because what you're left with is, here's this guy that I really, really like. I really enjoy spending time with him. And at some point, after a few hours, I feel hopeless. There's no information in that story that you can go anywhere with, right? That's it. That's all you know about it. And so then it's a workshop, right? Every time you're with him, you're going to get a little bit more information. So, for example, like let me just throw something out, right? So when I was meditating the first time, I would notice that after a while of a lot of paying attention, that at around 20 minutes, my attention would start to wander. So now I begin to look at what happens at 20 minutes that my attention starts to wander. And then it becomes really exciting to be sitting on the cushion because I want to pay attention to that 20-minute marker where something changes, right? And so it's not like you get an answer and you're done. You're interested in finding out what goes on for you. And there may be many things. I think the last time we talked, you talked about how the voice was a comparison where it's constantly telling you how someone else would be better for him than you, right? So yeah. Clearly that's a process of comparison, and you can just ignore it. I mean, what we talked about there is to record and listen to that person. What is the impact on her when that conversation comes in and tells her that someone else would be better than her, right? How does she feel hurt? Does she feel betrayed, right? So that's one way you're practicing with that process, and it sounds like the other place of exploration, another workshop with this guy, you've got many, it's like a whole retreat going, is when you're spending time with him, there's a certain time that you enjoy, and then suddenly you stop enjoying, and you just are interested in finding out, okay, well, what process am I in at that point? And that's simply what I'll pay attention to the next time I'm with him.
Okay, yeah. That sounds good. And
right?
And then just the other time, I just don't know how to be present. Like constantly, my mind is just, you know, thinking about, well, either about, like, it's not, either it doesn't matter if it's positive or negative, but my mind is just gone.
Yes, well, that's an interesting process in itself, because I project that doesn't just happen with him.
Well, now when I'm, you know, for example, waiting for hanging out with him again or something, so I'm missing all this time that I'm
Say that again, Anna.
I'm waiting to see him again, and I'm missing. Mm-hmm. I'm not being present while I'm waiting, you know?
Uh-huh.
Like,
yes, I do know.
I don't see him. Yeah. I'm kind of excited for and looking forward to when I see him, and I'm not being present.
Yes, that is such an important process to notice, right? Because I project what you're saying is attention is on, oh wow, I whatever, it'll be so nice to see him again. I miss him. I'm so looking forward to seeing him. And so that's where the attention is. And what you're aware of is that you're not here for what it is that you're doing now, and you're missing what is going on here in your life while your attention is being hijacked on a conversation about anticipating the future. And so that's mm-hmm. good to notice. And if you realize that you don't want to miss what's going on right now, you absolutely know what to do in redirecting the attention to being here. Every time you catch yourself not here, you just come back and you notice what's here. Because you don't want to miss mm-hmm. your life in a conversation.
No.
Because here's the thing, right, Anna, at some level, I know this, thinking about something like that feels good, right? There's a certain juice to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we get addicted to that feeling of the juiciness of that. But we don't realize that what we're getting trained is not to be present. So if I'm not here in this moment, then there's no guarantee that when I am with him, I can be with him. Because what I've been trained in is having my attention somewhere else. And I don't know if I can be here in every moment and enjoy my life. That's really the payoff that ego is counting on. Right? I'm going to feed you all of these juicy places to have your attention on that feel good as a way to make sure that when you're actually in front of that beautiful sunset and holding hands, you can't enjoy the moment.
Okay.
And there's supposed to be something wrong with you and there's something wrong with him, so let's ditch him and get someone else, right? That's sort of the way it goes.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I know about this, but he doesn't know about this. That's a problem. That's the next problem.
Know about what?
That's what Ingo is going to do. What Ingo will do, you know? So he'll probably ditch me because he doesn't know about this.
Well, we don't know that, right? So we don't know that.
Yeah.
But, you know, you could talk about your practice and what you're excited about if you really want to share it with him without any expectation that he's going to understand or want to understand or share it with you. But if it's important to you, it's something that you might want to share with him. Give him a book of Sherry's and say, this is what I do.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see.
What you don't want to listen to, right, Anna, is a voice that says he's going to ditch you because you know about this and he doesn't. Because all it's ever going to do is make you miserable. You could put that on a process, on your process map, sticky number, whatever, and paste it on the wall and go, not listening to that one.
Yeah. Yes, and just coming right here.
And just being right here, exactly. It doesn't matter if he knows about this or not. It's not what you're doing
right now. Nothing else exists right now.
That's exactly right.
So he's not even real.
Yep. Oh yep. And as we said, he might not even be real when you're with him and he's standing right in front of you because God knows what you're relating to, right?
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Yeah. Well, I didn't know that. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. 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 Well, here's the thing that you should be really, really happy about. You're watching it all, right? You can talk about it. You can articulate your process. You can tell me what conditioned mind is doing, which tells me that you're so aware of what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's good.
That it is good. Very good.
Okay, great.
Thanks a lot, Anna. You take care.
Thank you. Thanks, you too.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. Ashwini, what dropped in for me during that conversation is just continuing to look at a process. So I go, I see a process, I see that I go unconscious, there are things that I haven't seen yet, and just finding the willingness to keep showing up, to practice with it, and look at it, and keep showing up, it's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we're not, as Sherry said on the show this morning, we're not trying to get anywhere.
Yes. Yes. Yes, exactly. Ashwini, we're going to break to hear from our Zen Awareness Coaching Program, and then we'll come back to talk with more callers.
Great. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Build compassionate discipline into your life with Zen Awareness Coaching. Weekly calls and email check-ins provide support and accountability for waking up and ending suffering. Coaching assists us to recognize conditioned patterns and direct attention to what we want for our lives instead. If you have ever attended a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, Zen Awareness Coaching is for you. To request a coach, email zenawarenesscoach@livingcompassion.org. Get a Zen Awareness Coach and choose to make a change for good for your practice and your life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Ashwini, we have another caller here.
Great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Art.
Hi, Art.
Hey, Art.
How are you doing?
Good. Thank you so much. I'm doing fine. How are you all doing?
Very good.
Good.
Great.
Great. I'm grateful to be back on the call, and I've been noticing like a lot of resistance to practice, and kind of like it's almost as though it's not. It's sort of not important anymore. It's not as important as other things. Great moments of being present and of compassion, really. In this practice, and it seems to I guess what's happening is that ego seems to be saying, you know, your destiny is ego, and I'm your destiny, and all of these what you really want is out there. And I'm the only way that you're going to be able to get those things, and so you ought to just stop practicing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what I thought I'd contribute.
Yeah. Well, you know, Art, that is an ego process. I project if you take a poll of anyone who's practicing, that is a process they will encounter, right? So here's the trajectory. I'm really suffering, and so I'm looking around for something, and I come to practice. I'll do anything not to suffer, right? So I get, it's sort of the honeymoon period where we do all of the tools, we participate, and life gets better and better and better, right? Which is not a good thing for ego. And so then the conditioning starts up its process to attempt to, in small ways that we don't notice, oh, you know what, just this sit, you don't have to do that. Or, you know, maybe you don't have to listen to the radio show. And without us even knowing it, all of that expansive place, all of the expansion that we experienced because we did things in practice starts to be taken away from us because we stopped doing those things in practice. And suddenly one day we wake up and go, well, I'm not practicing because I'm listening to a voice in my head telling me that it's not as important to do. And then I fall for something like you just said, which is ego is your destiny, so you might as well not practice because that's just the way it is. And we don't catch on to it as far as quickly, or it's much more believable because we are not doing the things that would assist us to see, oh, that's ego, that's what it always does, and it's always gunning for me to have a very small and unhappy life.
Yeah. Yeah, or like a non-existent life.
Like a non-existent life. And you can remember how much compassion and moments of light that you've experienced. And so you know that possibility. But you are sort of talked into forgetting it. Yeah. And not being in touch with it, because it will inspire you to do the things that will keep that aperture of awareness open and expansive and joyful.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's truly such a program. It's got us all on such a program. And then we wake up one day and decide, I need to really get back on the practice wheel because I know what it's doing to me if I'm not. And so you pick up the phone and you get on the radio show and you put yourself in the queue and you're back in Sangha, and that's a victory for you over ego.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good. Right? And I think, yes, and compassionate scheduling has that's going to be, anyway, I think that's a valid place to place my attention now and schedule in some recording and listening and some meditation for sure.
That's right. So there's a way in which we're always in training, right, Art? We're either training to listen to and do what ego says, or I'm training to listen to and assist this human being in this lifetime. Mm. And so when you see that ego has gained ground, we say, great, I'm glad I can see that. And so now I'm going to train to listen to life. And so I'm going to start to do the things that allow me to keep that expanded awareness and that place of conscious, compassionate awareness in my life, because that's what I want. That's what I choose. And in doing that, right, in doing that compassionate scheduling with the meditations and the recording and listening, you're actually disproving that ego is your destiny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you've chosen something else. And that's precisely what it wants to take away from you.
Yeah. This is really helpful. Well, thank you so much.
One recording at a time, Art. That's all it takes.
All right.
All right.
All right. Thank you so much, Gasho.
Gasho, welcome back. And resistance is simply what we train against.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Art. Ashwini, what I noticed during that conversation is that I practice when I feel like it, and I practice when I don't feel like it.
Yeah, that is so true, Michael. I mean, if we can get over that, I'm only going to do it.
Yes.
That, or is it lose interest in my feelings? We're set up
yes.
for success.
Yes, yes, yes. Wonderful, wonderful. And we have another caller here.
Mm-hmm.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Vanessa in North Carolina.
Hey, Vanessa.
Hi, Vanessa.
Hello?
We can hear you.
Oh, you can? Okay.
Yes.
Hey. Well, let's see. Well, my practice is the patient, so I put myself in the queue. And I guess one thing that that I was looking at was I've been doing some Zen coaching and process maps, and so I feel like and then to the just so aware of I feel like I hear voices, I recognize voices, and I still get just carried away with them. And so I was looking at this, and I was like, I recognize these things. I know these things.
Vanessa, one second. Hang on one second. I'm having a little bit of difficulty hearing you. Michael, are you hearing that, or is it just me?
No, I hear a little bit of strobing also.
Yeah.
Vanessa.
Okay. Is this better?
So let me see if I can. I think what I heard you say is that you're doing Zen awareness coaching, you're doing a whole bunch of practice things, and you still find yourself getting carried away.
Yes. And so what it seemed like was it's the sensations. Like one of the things that really makes it seem like it's all real is the sensations in my body.
Mm-hmm.
Just like it's all, yeah, I guess that's it. That I thank you and Sherry both say, like, feeling makes things real. And so when I'm experiencing all these sensations and the energy and just like, yeah, just here and there, and it all seems very...
Well, let me ask you this, Vanessa. So let's just say that you are experiencing all of these sensations. Are you present to the sensations? Did we lose you, Vanessa?
Right. No, I'm here. Can you hear me now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's such a great question, because I feel like there's a tension on, like, I'm hearing the voices, but maybe there isn't that actual going down, like, into the, like, I'm listening to the voices, maybe, and aware that they are the voices, but not actually coming back to your presence. And like the sensations in my body, like, oh, okay, so there's this tightening and there's this.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Uh-huh.
Because that's not to be carried away, right? Because the voices are going at you, and there are sensations in the body. And if your attention is on the sensations, you're very present to them. You're not carried away.
Right, and so the urgency that comes along with the voices that says you have to do something, you need to decide, or you have to say something, or something has to happen, by turning attention, like really paying attention to the sensations, not just being like, oh my God, there's so much sensation,
right.
That can cut that off, I see, yeah.
Because, oh my God, that's a sensation, you've left your sensations, right?
Right.
And so then it feels real is also part of the story. How do you know it's real? Because you're told it's real.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just something to pay attention to next time, that when you feel, I mean, that's why we do process maps, right? We get the thoughts that are racing through our mind on a piece of paper so that it trains the awareness to recognize I'm in my process. So then, like meditation mm-hmm. and a structure for counting the breath, right, you have a container within which to practice. So I'm sticky number 25, sticky number 26. Now I can know that I'm in my process, and I can pay attention to where I am in my process. What does the body feel like? Where's the tightness? And I'm very present to my experience. It doesn't matter what the experience is, but there's awareness in the experience. And that's the next step that we want to take in going into our process with conscious awareness, because ultimately, then going back to what we talked about at the radio show this morning, I can identify with what's being present, what's looking, what's noticing, rather than identifying with the voices.
Mm-hmm. Mhm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I see that. Yeah. I think I see that. That definitely feels like some place I can practice. Maybe I should just say that.
That's exactly right. That it's just like we were talking with Anna, right? So there's enough. You've been inside the experience to tell me what the voices are saying. And so now when mm-hmm. something says you've got to do something, you can just say, that's the workshop. When I hear those three voices, what I'm going to practice, I'm going to try to do this. I can record about it and listen to it as my practice focus,
mm-hmm.
is what is the sensation in the pit of my stomach? That's where I want to train the attention to go to when there's that voice that says, you've got to do something. Now you're training mm-hmm. the attention and awareness to go to something specific in your body when you hear those voices. And you can train yourself to do that. Because what we're training mm-hmm. for is to be present in the situation, to expand awareness in the situation. And so you need to have, you know, it's best when we train with something very specific, right? So if, like Sherry will say, you need a mantra like I choose unconditional love every time the voice says something. So your mantra could be in this situation, when I hear these three voices, what I'm going to do is to tune into the sensation at the end of my toe or inside my tummy. Mm-hmm. And you train yourself to be present in that situation so you're interrupting the circuit that the voices have already built.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that is so helpful. Yeah.
Good.
Good.
Well, thank you so much.
I will. I'm looking forward to practicing with that. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Vanessa.
Good night.
Good night.
Yeah. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, Michael. Good night.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Vanessa. Ashwini, what dropped in during that conversation is something Sherry says, that sensation plus story equals emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Just seeing how that works, mm-hmm. you know, as we do all the time, how does this work? How does that sensation get tied into this meaning? And mm-hmm. and there we have emotion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And emotion makes it all real, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And we have another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Margaret in Menlo Park.
Hey, Margaret.
Hey, Margaret.
Hey, Ashwini and Michael. I'm so glad to be on and to have had the opportunity to do Saturday's workshop, the email class, and the year-long program all together at one time. It's been so...
No place for ego to hide.
No, and I just feel like there's been a real practice success around, two things, really. One is, you know, at the end of the email class, which I was just spending time with ego on, because it was trying to write my reply to the last class we did. And the whole, it was so interesting because part of that to me was around seeing much deeper how I don't want to be coming, I don't want to be speaking from ego's voices.
So that was ironic, right? That ego tries to write your response when your intention is not for ego to speak.
Exactly.
And catching that is the practice success, I would project.
Well, catching that, but it was also, it was just this amazing, frustrating experience because I was having a wonderful time not writing it from ego all day yesterday while I was in airports and in car rental places waiting to get to, and you know, things like that. And I was just having a great time writing it. Then I got home and then ego was getting in there, changing it, and I kept falling asleep while doing it. And I was like, this is not working. I have to go to bed. And so I can write this in the morning. And then it was completely transformed when I when I saw that process this morning. And so that was just so, it was so helpful because I think maybe years ago now, a couple years ago now, I got some guidance about being present through being present with someone that's in a difficult or stressful communication relationship with me, being present with love through, you know, with love with them. And this whole experience of practicing sort of from a different perspective in a way, it's sort of like I could see that's not exactly what happened to what I was writing about because it was another stressful situation where I saw I wanted to be right. And, you know, this person just said an innocent sort of wrong thing that I, you know, and I was with other people too, but I just, you know,
so let me make sure I'm tracking, Margaret. You said something that was, and so the guidance was available to you that you know, if someone is going through a stressful time, that you could be with them in love. And that was what you were able to be with when you watched that that remark come out that was completely innocent.
Yeah.
But could be construed otherwise.
Right. And I kind of just was like so struck by what I had said. It's like I wasn't present. I immediately could feel the separation between us, and I just really got it. That I wanted to practice being in a different place of responding, aware, so that I wouldn't do that to myself or to another person. I don't really know what their response was, but I didn't.
So let me see if I can. So clearly, something was said, and it got said. And then you watch the conditioning come in to say, how could you have said that, right? There's an immediate self-hating place that the attention goes to. And as soon as the attention goes to that self-hating place, we leave here. There is no presence. And you can watch that happen, that there is that sense of separation and that sense of division. And because you're no longer here with Margaret in the moment, attention is on that ego conversation, believing that you've done something truly awful. But that whole process assisted you to be motivated to cultivate presence so you don't communicate from ego. And I don't know if this is where you were going with your writing being right, because that's a standard, right? There is a motivation. We want to practice like our hair is on fire, knowing that the very desire to reach enlightenment is in our way. So to be able to see that that happened, and that makes you want to practice more in order not to let it happen again, but you have no control over whether it will happen or not. And ego doesn't have to set up an impossible standard for you to achieve perfection in communication.
Right. Let's not have that happen.
Exactly.
Not going there, yeah.
So I want to certainly look at the process, but I'm training to be present, not to be the perfect communicator.
Yes. Yeah, that's it just feels well, and it's what I was guided to before of I could see that when I'm in that place of nurturing or sustaining acceptance. That maybe that would happen less or maybe not, but that's certainly what I'm practicing for. It's something I really I really want to be supporting.
Well, here's something I might offer, Margaret, just for you to consider, right? The place that you're talking about that you got guidance is to be with someone in love. So rather than, to me, what I saw in this whole process is the remark was completely innocent, and what followed was self-hate, which caused the separation. And so the process place is not so much to practice so that you'll never say something that has an impact on another person, but simply that the next time that remark comes out and you notice the self-hate, you're with Margaret in love. There's no self-hate there.
That's really helpful. Yes.
That's really what we're talking about in terms of authentic communication, right? Because as long as Margaret feels okay for having been unconscious in one moment, she can just go, oops, that was unfortunate. I'm so sorry about that. Hope no one took any offense. Because if she is in relationship to love, there's nothing wrong with what she said. She's not told she's an awful human being for having said that and now has to be in a self-improvement program for the rest of her life before she opens her mouth.
Right, and then or taken off to the dark room so she misses, the whole next, 10 minutes, whatever, of life.
Of her life, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so helpful. And, so that's very helpful. I just wanted to thank you so much, too, for the Saturday workshop on scheduling because it was so expansive and opening for new possibilities for just looking at the whole, what's available even around scheduling, making a schedule. Mm-hmm. And I just loved everything you brought to it. I won't mention them, but I would love to have some of them written down.
Well, maybe we can work out how to make the recording available as part of our fundraiser for Africa, Margaret.
Excellent. I think that would be really, really, really good because that it was just, I can't say anything more except it was just, it felt so helpful to hear how other people, like-minded folks, look at this whole subject of life. It was about living our how we want to live.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. How do we want to live? Yeah.
So thank you so much.
Put our attention where we want it to be consciously. That's a compassionate schedule. Yeah. Well, thank you, Margaret.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Margaret. And Ashwini, I think we have time for one more caller here.
Excellent.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Laura from Berkeley.
Hey, Laura.
Hey, Laura.
Hello. Let's see. Well, what I have been looking at is basically feeling like I'm not doing enough, which is a very common process for me. And it feels like the voice, it's like there's kind of a big campaign right now because I have some content going on, which is that I am leaving my job and starting a new job next week. And so there's just this like, yeah, it's just sort of all of the sensations, and it just feels really real, all those stories right now.
Mm-hmm. It's very much our assignment for the day from the year long, right? If you were enough for what? Would you be enough for? So have you looked at it from that perspective, Laura? It says you're not enough. Enough for what? And if you were enough, then what?
Yeah, and what I've seen so far is that I'm sad to be leaving my current job because I have one coworker in particular who I've worked with for a long time and who I work with closely, and I'm also, she's also a friend, and realizing that there's this story of, in order for me to show that I care, in order to take care of her, I need to like get a certain amount of work done that, you know, is impossible.
That's two things that don't go together at all, right?
Right, and that's kind of what I'm told. That's what I'm told, that's what I'll have if I'm enough. Is that then I won't? I guess like what's kind of like I won't have to feel guilty about leaving if I do enough.
I see. Like, yes. So if you did enough, which is an impossible if you did enough work, which is an impossible task that you know is impossible, then you won't have to feel guilty about leaving her. And it actually comes down to you don't care. Because if you cared, you would not make a choice that is got nothing to do with her or nothing to do with you, right? Right? I mean, it's amazing, just the process as we talk about it, how things get put together which are not related, how much work you do, how much you care, your guilt, and your choice of going to another job. Because I would project she would be happy for you, right? If this is something you're excited about doing and you wanted to go to this other job and, you know, for whatever reason you're going to, if she's a good friend, she would be thrilled for you. Wouldn't want you to feel guilty.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think I think that she is excited and wants to be supportive of me, and it's just a little bit of a challenging situation for her, the fact that I'm leaving.
Which can all be all right, right, Laura? In other words, you're sad about leaving. This is a place where you have invested so much time, so much energy, so much care, and so much love, but it's time for you to go. So we can hold both those feelings simultaneously, right? Well, it's only an ego where if you're leaving, that means you don't care and you need to feel guilty and work so hard that you can prove that whatever you've got proved. So, yeah, she's very supportive for you, and she can also, she finds it challenging. Yeah, both of those are true, but there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and it's like, I feel like it's been challenging because it's like I can see this process happening, and I can see how it keeps me from actually being present and, you know, I just there's this like feeling of paralysis with it, like that I'm not going to get enough done, and I'm not going to do it right, and I'm not going to,
which is all ego voices, right? I'm not going to do enough. I'm not going to get it done right. So there's several things to when we believe it's real, we get stuck in the content, and so as we process, you can see it as the ego process, which is very, very mm-hmm. familiar to you, especially as an Enya type one, right? It has to be right. Mm-hmm. It has to be enough. It has to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And listening to that conversation, you can tell me, is not allowing you to be present and here, and which is where you want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah? And which mm-hmm. I would project also prevents you from having that open-hearted place where you can have your experience of feeling sad and feeling excited that this is a new place that you're going to, and hold and facilitate your friends and coworkers' experience of feeling having mixed feelings, and all of it from that open-hearted place can be there side by side. Everybody can have a mixed experience of all of what they're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And you could facilitate Laura, and you can facilitate it for your friend.
Yeah, that I think I hadn't realized until now that there is sort of, that has to be one or the other. It can't just be, like you say, a mixed thing.
Right, because that's what ego's orientation of enough is. There is not enough, whatever that means, for it to be an and space. It has to be an mm-hmm. or space, right? That's mm-hmm. why there's insufficiency. You can have this or you can have that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have both.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's helpful just to be able to get it out of my head a little bit.
Oh, my God, yes. What would we do if we couldn't process?
Yeah,
to get to that exact place of laughter where the absurdity of it is something you can see once you step out of it. Until you do, it seems very real and very intense and very dramatic and impossible to get out of.
Yeah, and there's a standard going on, too, that I shouldn't be having this experience. Like, you shouldn't be getting so stressed out about this. You know this process, like, why are you, that's also something that it's kind of trying
that
to
is the last, that is the sticky that we never put on the process map.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That process that says, because you're a practitioner and you've been practicing all this time, it's what was the example in our year-long radio show. You say you're practicing, but you're still suffering. What beliefs and what beliefs are you still clinging to?
Yeah.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah.
File that under Kripola or whatever it is that you wanted, another judgment, or just part of that self-hating process that I don't have to pay any attention to.
Yeah. Yeah, that it's not a contest.
It's not a contest. Nope, there are no standards mm-hmm. except in ego's world, and she's doing her best. So there.
Mm-hmm.
There's the standard of sufficiency. If I'm always doing my best, they can't be a question of enough because it's a superlative word.
Yeah. And I can feel emotion come up with that, so I think that resonates with something.
Exactly. That's the thing that she doesn't get to have when ego talks about being good enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you. And I believe that brings us to the end of the show, Michael.
Yes. Thank you, Laura. Goodbye. Yes, it does, Ashwini. Thank you for joining us tonight. It was a great show. And I want to thank you and all of our callers and all of our listeners.
Go happy.
All right. Go happy.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. Good night.